I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Hey, sleepers, and welcome to the Sleepwire Great Debate Show, where we do a fast debate between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me today, I have one of our new guys here at Sleepwire, Ryan. Ryan, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys?
How you been? First time on the Great Debate. It's your debut.
Yeah, man, I'm ready. I can't wait. I know we're not supposed to try and win, but it seems kind of easy for me.
Oh, is that what it is? Might be a little more difficult than you think.
All right.
Hopefully it comes easy, though. Before we jump into the show here, please go to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or Podbean, wherever you listen to us, and drop us a 5-star rating and leave us a nice review. That truly does help out the show. What we're doing here in the Great Debate is having an actual debate-style argument between two players. So we're going to spend a couple minutes arguing for our player. We get 90 seconds for a rebuttal, and then we wrap it up with final thoughts on our player. And before I announce the players, I want to give you guys a heads up once again that the purpose of these Great Debates is not for us to try to convince each other. We're not trying to win the debate. I'm not trying to convince Ryan of my player. He's not trying to convince me of his. What we're doing is giving you guys legit arguments for and against these guys so that you can make an educated decision on who to draft. And today, taking it back to wide receivers, I know we haven't done one in a week. It's been 2 weeks since we did one, actually. I was in Cancun last week, so that was pretty awesome, right? I was thinking about you guys the whole time, though, Ryan.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible time. Sounds like a shitty trip, man.
Yeah, it was terrible, man. It was awful.
I feel bad for you. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So you had to go there. Why'd they make you go there?
All-inclusive resort, sipping my piña coladas. Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah.
Torture.
Let's go ahead and jump into it. We got two wide receivers this time. We're taking Allen Robinson versus Golden Tate. I've got Robinson and Ryan has Tate, and we're going to go ahead and jump right in here. Okay, so people are forgetting how good Allen Robinson actually is. He missed most of last season. He was in there for basically one play in week one. Missed all season due to an ACL tear in that first week, and has been kind of forgotten about. Robinson averaged 944 receiving yards per season through the first three seasons of his career with the Jacksonville Jaguars. After they let him go, he chose not to re-sign him. He signed a big contract with the Bears, a 3-year, $42 million deal with a $6 million signing bonus and $25.2 million guaranteed. He now gets a chance to play in what could potentially be a pretty good offense. You got Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Kevin White, who we still have yet to see much of, but he is a really good wide receiver. Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, and of course, second-year quarterback Mitch Trubisky. The Bears traded up to draft Trubisky in the 2016 NFL draft. He was their guy. They wanted him. They wanted the guy who had the best completion percentage in the ACC that year. They wanted an accurate quarterback who had a 68% completion percentage with 30 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions in those 13 games in 2016. Mitch Trubisky has all of the tools to be a really good quarterback for the Bears. He just didn't have the right system last year. The Bears went out and brought in Matt Nagy to be the head coach. Nagy was the quarterback's coach for the Kansas City Chiefs from 2013 to 2015, and in 2016, he was promoted to the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. The Chiefs last season, they started 5-0, and then in their next six games, they went 1-5, and that's when Andy Reid decided, hey, I'm not calling the plays anymore, I'm going to hand over the offensive play calling duties to Nagy. And then the Chiefs finished the season 4-1, averaging nearly 29 points per game in that final five-game stretch. This guy knows how to coach offenses, and he knows how to get the best out of his quarterback, as we saw last year with Alex Smith. I had to say all of that because Allen Robinson is in a new system this year, and it's important to talk about the new team and system if we're going to talk about this guy. Robinson is only a couple years removed from finishing as the wide receiver 6. Back in 2015, he went absolutely off. 80 catches, 1,400 yards, and 14 touchdowns. This guy knows how to get it done when he's got an accurate quarterback, and Blake Bortles was certainly accurate that season. In 2016, he had 73 catches for 883 yards and 6 touchdowns. Yes, that is certainly not close to his season before, but he actually received the exact same number of targets as the season before. And Bortles... All right, let's move into that rebuttal. Ryan, kick it off.
It has been, let me think, 336 days since we've seen Allen Robinson. When we last saw him, he was shot with 151 targets, and he only had 883 yards with a 48.3 catch percentage. Marquise Lee had the same amount that year of yards with this, with 45 less targets. He had a massive drop off from his breakout season. We all know he was like the garbage time king. 2015, his only good season, the Jags had the 25th easiest schedule. The target share isn't in his favor in this year. You have no idea where the ball is going to go in Chicago. Nagy's top wideout has been like Tariq Cohen, or it's going to be Tariq Cohen, Anthony Miller, somebody like that. It was Hill. It's not the Robinson type. Nagy's top target has been the tight end, actually, which is not A-Rob. And he didn't have to compete with that when he was in Jacksonville. In 2015, Blake Bortles, it took him being a top four fantasy quarterback for him to have that season. Some of the corners he will face this year, alongside having the eighth hardest strength of schedule, Rhodes, Darius Slay, Xavier Howard, Patrick Pete, Tre'Davious White, Aqib Talib.
All right, let's move over to Golden Tate. Ryan, kick it off.
Golden Tate is in a contract year. He's an elite underneath option. The top four players in yards after catch last season were Gurley, Kamara, Bell, and Golden Tate. He ranks top five in yards after contact in each of the past four seasons, top three in missed tackles forced in each of the past six seasons. Two receivers have caught at least 90 passes in each of the last four seasons, Antonio Brown and Tate. Jim Bob Cooter is in his fourth season. Matt Nagy is in his first. Everything I've said is safe. He screams a safe wide, safe high-end wide receiver too. Matt Stafford's safe. Staff is one of the most efficient target distributors in the league, but since Megatron left, Tate has been his top target, and he's finished well below his ADP. Safe. In the last two seasons, he's ascended in every relevant category except his draft spot. He's only missed one game since he's entered the league. Tate is in the slot 80% of the time, and the top corner isn't going to be on him. Mike Evans, Diggs, Amari Cooper, Juju, all being picked ahead of him, didn't have the same numbers as he did as far as fantasy goes. If anything, he should get the biggest share of Ebron's touches, not Luke Wilson, who's the tight end. He finally benefits from a running game, and his targets are safe in the slot.
All right, so let me start off my rebuttal by saying that I do really like Golden Tate, especially in PPR leagues. But with Tate, you know what you're getting. 90-ish catches, 1,000-ish yards, and 5 touchdowns. When it comes to catches, his last three seasons are 90, 91, and 92. Good for PPR. His yards, 813, 1,077, 1,003, and his touchdowns are 6, 4, and 5. Those are good numbers to look for in a wide receiver, too. And if you just look at end-of-season stats, Tate is about as consistent as they come. But in season, he feels pretty up and down. Last year alone, he started 10 for 107, 4 for 25, 7 for 58 in a touchdown, 3 for 29, 5 for 48. Then he had 4 good games, 2 really bad games. 2 good games, 2 really bad games. He wasn't someone who you could rely on to put up 15 plus points a week, even though he was certainly capable of doing it. He had fewer than 10 fantasy points in 7 of his 16 games last season. Nearly half of his games were single digit scoring, and that's in PPR. He also wasn't used much in the red zone last season, with only 8 targets inside the 20. His touchdown potential is capped. His career high is 7 touchdowns, and that was way back in 2012 with the Seattle Seahawks. He's only had more than 5 touchdowns once with the Lions, and that was 6 back in 2015. The scoring opportunities are just limited with Golden Tate. Solid. All right, let's move into final thoughts here. Taking it back to Allen Robinson. So as I was saying, that Robinson, when he has an accurate quarterback, puts up really good numbers. But back in 2016, He had the same number of targets as he did in 2015, but Bortles' accuracy was horrible that year. He just couldn't hit anybody. Robinson is also heavily utilized in the red zone. 2016, he was 14th in the NFL with 19 red zone targets, catching 9 of them for 5 touchdowns. Back in 2015, he was 7th out of all wide receivers with 22 red zone targets, catching 15 of them for 12 touchdowns. He's a big target at 6'3" with great hands, which makes him perfect in scoring situations. We've already gotten an alert, actually just came out on Monday, that Allen Robinson will be playing in the Bears' third preseason game this week, so we can rest assured that his ACL tear that he suffered in week one last season is healed up by now. Wide receivers who switch teams generally don't put up huge fantasy numbers, but Robinson's talent makes him perfectly draftable at his current average draft position, which is the last pick in the fourth round in 12-team PPRs, and he's at the 506 in 12-team non-PPR leagues. That's pretty good value for this guy.
Like I said, with the fact that it took Bortles being a top four fantasy quarterback for Robinson to have that amazing season, that you're projecting Trubisky to basically do the same. The targets, the talent around him is a lot better than it was in Jacksonville. And like I said, they're going to lean on the running game with the which the Jags could never do.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Great Debate. You can follow the Sleeper Wire Show on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. I am on there at Seymour Sleeper Wire. So that's C-M-O-R Sleeper Wire. And Ryan is on there at Jabba FF. So J-A-B-B-A-F-F. You can find us on Sleeper Bot at Professor Chris and Jabba, and the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and Jabba SW. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.